Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, here on the Mark Steiner Show. And in studio with us now is Congresswoman Donna Edwards, who, of course, represents the 4th District in the U.S. House of Representatives and, of course, is running for the U.S. Senate. Good to have you in the studio. Welcome.
Mark, it's great to be in the studio with you.
Yeah, at last. Good to have you. 410-319-8888. Join us now. Donna Edwards has about a half an hour or so with us, so get your calls in early. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talkatsteinershow.org. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner, log on to our Facebook pages, but 410-319-8888. So let's just begin with, we were talking a bit about before we went on the air. The campaign rhetoric around your campaign, attacking your campaign, as you're having terrible constituent service, that you're not effective in Congress because you're a loner. Talk a bit about that, what your response to that is, because that's been the chatter on Facebook and other places for months now.
I think it's true, Mark, and I think it's just noise, and it's really shameful. First of all, I have been reelected 3-4 times now by an overwhelming percentage of voters in my district, actually greater than almost every single person, I think everyone, in the Maryland delegation. And I think if, if that chatter was true, then I wouldn't receive the reelection support that I have in my congressional district. And let me just say this, that, some of the things that I'm that I hear that have an overlay of race and gender are really, like the Democrats' own dog whistle or foghorn. I think it's really unfortunate. If you look at the way that we deliver services in my congressional district, I think about, the family that was going to lose their home because their son had a brain tumor and mom had to take off to take care of him. Dad lost his job. And my office saved their home. And so, there are just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other stories exactly like that. The first time first generation students wanting to go to college, and we have a college fair for them. Thousands of students coming through our college fair, exposed to colleges and universities that they wouldn't have seen otherwise because their parents can't take off during spring break and drive them or fly them around the country. And so we had to bring those colleges and universities to them. And so I understand the needs of middle class families, of working families that are just like mine. And I think that that is an important voice and perspective to have into the United States Senate.
So 410-319-8888, let's go back and forth through my thoughts and the thoughts of our audience. Let's go to Julie in Baltimore. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. I just want to say how disgusted I am with all the negative campaigning. I really, really, it just really turns me off. And I don't find it that persuasive. Frankly, I just assume that people are doing it I think it hurts the person who's doing it more than the people who are actually benefiting from it. The people who are actually giving it out.
Julie, thanks so much.
Well, Julie, I share that concern. Frankly, I've told my mom, who's very sensitive about the negative campaigning that's going on against her daughter and my son, to just tune it out because I do. My goal is to go across the state as I have and talk to people not at the 30,000-foot level but right on the ground where they live, juggling the rent and the electric and paying for daycare and trying to get a job and compete in a really complicated economy. And those are the voices that I plan to carry into the United States Senate. And I can understand that if people, if my opponent feels like he's behind and the political establishment, Democratic Party establishment here in Maryland feels like they don't want somebody in the Senate who's going to be an independent voice, who's going to fight for every single one of our middle-class families, then maybe the choice is to attack, at the most personal level, which I find, frankly, very, very offensive. And I'm going to continue to go out and talk about the hopes and dreams and aspirations of Marylanders as I've heard their voices from the Eastern Shore to the Western Mountains to here in Baltimore City and Baltimore County and beyond.
Now, when Congressman Van Hollen was here last week, I asked him a question. I'm going to ask you the same question. So many people think there's very little difference politically between the two of you in terms of your voting records and what you've stood for in Congress. So what is the contrast for you? I mean, how would your time in the Senate be any different than Van Hollen's time if he was in the Senate.
Well, let me just say this. I can just tell you, Mark, who I am. I'm a lawyer by training. I was a systems engineer at Lockheed long before I came into the Congress. I was the CEO of a nonprofit philanthropic organization, raising and supporting millions of dollars of projects all across the country, progressive public policy. I bring a lot of experience to the table. In addition to that, I'm the single mom of a now 27-year-old son that I raised mostly on my own since he was about 3 years old. And I think that my perspective as a woman, as a working woman, as an African-American woman, is a unique perspective and would be in the United States Senate. And so if people say all things being equal, if our voting records are similar, then I would say that all things in the United States Senate, quite frankly, Mark, are not equal. There are 100 senators. There are 20 women. We would be losing one of our stalwarts, Barbara Mikulski, in the United States Senate. And I think it's important for us to have diverse views and perspectives around the table. And frankly, the United States Senate doesn't have that now, not in terms of working people, not in terms of people who understand the struggles of middle-class families and people who are clawing their way into the middle class, not from the perspective of an African-American woman in the United States Senate. There's been one black woman who served in the Senate, Carol Mosley Braun, more than two decades ago. And I think that my voice around the table on behalf of working families and middle-class families is an important one not to lose. And in a time where we're trying to figure out how we grow the middle class, how we create jobs and opportunity and education for people no matter what zip code they live in, that a voice like mine would be important around that public policy table. And you know what, Mark? If you look in business, in the nonprofit sector, in other areas of government, we say that we believe in diversity and inclusion because it adds voices to the table and you make better decisions because of that. Well, if that's true in all of these other aspects of our society, then certainly it should be true in the United States Senate.
Let me go back to the phones, as I promised, 410-319-8888. We're here with Congresswoman Donna Edwards, who's spending the day here in Baltimore campaigning day before the election. Election day is tomorrow. 410-319-8888. Bill, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, first, let me just say hello.
Hello.
And, Ms. Edwards, I just want you to know, first of all, Senator Conway is my senator, and I did let her know that I was very displeased that she wasn't supporting you. And I guess my question to you is this. You know, since that, it's over 500,000 political offices in this country, and as black people, we only hold a little over 1%. I'm kind of confused when black leadership is afraid to endorse another black person when we said we want to put ourselves in political power. And so I'm saying, what kind of message do I send to the black population when political leadership is divided?
Well, I think voters, and thanks for the comment, but I think voters across the board are a lot smarter than we give them credit for. And as I travel all across the state of Maryland, whether they are black and brown families, communities of color, or working people who, you know, get up and want to go to work every day, get paid a decent wage, and take care of themselves and their families, build a better life for their children, they're saying that we want our voice to be heard. And so I can't speak for the political apparatus because it feeds on itself. It's a bit of a club. My opponent came out of Annapolis. That's kind of a club of its own. My opponent was first endorsed by Harry Reid from Nevada. Like, why does Maryland care what Nevada thinks about who we should choose as our next United States senator? Because that's a club, too. And it's time to break open that club because it's not working for working people. It's not working for people who are just really struggling out there, stagnant wages for the last couple of decades. And to have somebody who's going to be around the table say, we need to think about these things a little bit differently. We need to think about, you know, when we're putting resources into our urban core, instead of just like giving it away, how about targeting it to some of the communities that are most in need? When we think about education, you know, don't just do the construction and think about education writ large for our fanciest school districts, but what about the school districts where children are struggling and where they're going to school in classrooms that were built in the mid-20th century with materials from the mid-20th century, and we're saying to them, we want you to compete in the 21st century. Well, my voice needs to be around the table for those young people, and I think about a couple of girls that I met at a polling place actually out in Randallstown, and they were about six and eight years old, and their mother went in to vote, and they came out and they ran across the parking lot toward me, Mark, and they grabbed me and they just said, "I voted for you." And when I think about
6 years old,
6 years old, and when I think about those little girls, I think what they were, you know, what they were saying is, you know, one of them said, "Maybe one day I can grow up to be a senator," and maybe she looks at somebody like me and thinks maybe she could grow up to be a United States senator, and we should make that dream okay.
Before we go back to the phones here, Marie, you're the next caller up, so don't go away. 410-319-8888. Let's check these tweets I think are coming in. We'll look at those. So a bit before we were in the beginning, the article that was written in Politico by Rachel Vade about you and the Black Caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus, and the intimations in the article are that you're an outsider in the caucus. You're never there. People don't like you in the caucus. Only four of the 42 members of the Congressional Black Caucus endorsed you. So what is your response to that article and things like that?
Well, first of all, the article is highly inaccurate. There are something like 19 or 20 members of the Congressional Black Caucus have actually provided financial support for my campaign, which I really do appreciate. And others have introduced me to others of their donors to support my campaign, and I appreciate that, too. The fact is that I came into the caucus in a really different kind of way. I defeated one of their colleagues in a Democratic primary. And so that's not a real surprise. And in fact, that same person that I defeated is on the Congressional Black Caucus PAC board that decided not to endorse me. No great surprise there either, apart from the corporate interests that are represented on that PAC board. Look, I believe that I represent a strong and an independent voice on behalf of my constituents and would on behalf of Marylanders. And I think sometimes we need that independent voice because it's not as though the Democratic Party always does everything right either. For example, I did challenge our Democratic colleagues here in Maryland around our redistricting plan because I believe that it wasn't treating communities fairly. And that went against the interests of the Democratic Party, but it was probably the right thing to do. And we need to engage in redistricting reform that results in all of us having the voice that we deserve in our public policy. And so, you know, I'm proud this past weekend, my colleague from the Congressional Black Caucus, Gwen Moore from Wisconsin, was around campaigning for me. She attended churches over the weekend. She was knocking doors here in Baltimore City over the weekend as well. And so I'm proud of the support that I have among members of the Black Caucus. And more importantly, I want the support of ordinary people and voters. And of course, on tomorrow, on Tuesday, the 26th, from 7 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock in the evening, voters around Maryland will have their opportunity to express their choice for the United States Senate. And, you know, and I do hope and want them to choose me to step into the shoes, the big shoes, big little shoes of Barbara Mikulski, because I think that Maryland deserves a fighter and to continue to have a fighter in the United States Senate, to fight for middle-class families, to fight for working people, to fight for women. I mean, and that has been Senator Mikulski's hallmark. And not just that, but she's gotten things done that make sense. Look, when I first came into Congress, my very first act as a member of Congress, and I think I talked to you about this, was to get Maryland added to something called the After School Suppers Program, because I could see as a mom, as somebody who struggled to put food on the table, that kids in our schools were going hungry. And today, tens of thousands of students receive breakfast, lunch, and dinner at school because of what I did. Now, I don't think it's because other people in Maryland thought kids should be hungry. It's just that nobody could see them the way that I did. And so that's why it's important to have a different perspective around the table.
Diana Edwards is in the House here. She's running for U.S. Senate tomorrow's election day, 410-319-8888. Back to the phones. And Marie, you're on the air. Welcome.
Couple of quick questions for the Congresswoman. I just wanted her to comment on the NRA ad that she's put out against Congressman Van Hollen, and that went so far that even the White House distanced themselves from it. And also, I wanted her to comment on the fact of her rating of one of the least effective members of Congress. Those were my concerns. And also, I think that when Mr. Steiner asks her what is the difference between her and Van Hollen, and she just says, well, I'm a woman. I mean, I think as a woman, that's really insulting. And I do have a problem with that and with her misinterpretation of his of Van Hollen's really incredibly progressive leadership. So thanks.
Marie?
Well, I didn't. I actually didn't say that the only difference is that I'm a woman. I did say that we do bring different perspectives because our life experiences are different. The things that we did before, Mr. Van Hollen has spent most of his time in elective office. I've spent most of my time building organizations. I'm the former executive director of the National Network to End Domestic Violence, an organization that I created from scratch 25 years ago, running a nonprofit foundation that made grants of millions of dollars to great progressive organizations across the country, working in the nonprofit sector, working as a systems engineer for Lockheed in the space program, and as a lawyer. And so I bring a lot of things to the table that, frankly, are just very different from Mr. Van Hollen. What I was saying is that our voting records, and everybody says this, our voting records are, in fact, very similar. And so in those terms, politically and in terms of policy, there aren't that many distinctions. Now, with regard to this advertisement from on the NRA that the White House asked to have taken down, that was an advertisement that was run by an organization that's not affiliated with me. It was not my campaign ad, and yet Mr. Van Hollen has been running ads repeatedly calling it the Edwards attack ad, which is just incorrect. It is factually incorrect, and so I'm not going to take ownership over something that I didn't create. And then with respect to that ineffective rating, I'm really shocked by the use of that because it's an organization that rates effectiveness based on the sheer number of bills that you co-sponsor. And so if I had come into the Congress and co-sponsored every Republican bill and every Democratic bill, no matter what the substance, I would have been labeled effective. So I just think that that's really bogus, and it's kind of shameful to use that. I will point to my record of leadership. I was the co-chair of the Bipartisan Women's Caucus in the Congress, the leader of the Democratic women in the House of Representatives. I served on our Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee in charge of recruitment for Democrats across the country. I'm the lead Democrat on our space subcommittee, and for Maryland, space is really big business, and so that's important. And I've passed legislation that makes a difference. I talked about after-school suppers, but I also passed a provision in the Affordable Care Act that holds insurance companies accountable for unjustifiable rate increases. And this year, the provision that I wrote, Maryland has used to save Maryland consumers $66.6 million. I'd call that being pretty effective.
So let me go back to the phones, and I have some closing questions. What do I do for a living? 410-319-8888. Tony, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, how you doing?
Very well. Welcome.
More power to the Africa all over the world. Sister, relax yourself. You're going to be. That's why McCoskey endorsed you. She a woman. About the other sister, you're going against you. Leave them. You're coming back to the same station to celebrate. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, I appreciate that. Look, I really value Senator Mikulski's leadership. We worked together, for example, to save over 200 jobs in Hyattsville. The IRS was going to ship to West Virginia. And so we worked together to keep those jobs right here in Maryland. We've worked together to make sure that our space program is fully funded, particularly the work that happens at Goddard Space Flight Center and here in Baltimore, because for Maryland, space is big business. Tens of thousands of jobs rely on our aerospace industry. We've worked together on issues related to women's health. And so I truly value Senator Mikulski's leadership and her service for 30 years, which, you know, and so I never really say I'm stepping into her shoes because I don't believe that. But I do believe that I have the ability to build on that strong legacy of supporting working families, of creating jobs and opportunity, of making sure that women's voices are fairly represented at the table. And and I look forward to continuing that strong legacy. And look, I'm running as who I am. I mean, all of us has a story that we can tell, Mr. Van Hollen as well, about our work with Senator Mikulski. Each of us has stories that we can tell about our work supporting President Obama and this administration. But this race is about Maryland. It's not, it isn't about Senator Mikulski, and it's not about President Obama. It's about who in the 21st century, in 2016, can build on a strong legacy left by Senator Mikulski supporting working families all across Maryland. And I want to ask the voters of the great state of Maryland to give me that opportunity.
So one of the articles, many articles have been written around your campaign, this campaign between you and Van Hollen, it has to do with your votes in Congress around Israel, around Gaza. You're walking out when not staying when Netanyahu was speaking to Congress, and talk a bit about that. I mean, this has also come out in the presidential campaign between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. It's a serious issue, and I think it also divides not just America in many ways, and the Jewish community as well, especially generationally. So I'm curious your response to all that.
Well, I'm very clear that I am a very strong supporter of Israel. Israel is our strongest ally in that region, and it is the only democracy in the region. I also believe that it's important for the United States to play a constructive role in trying to get the Israelis and Palestinians to come to the negotiating table, to negotiate lines that would create a two-state solution for Israel and Palestine, because I think that that is at the crux of many of the issues that transpire in the region. I also was a strong supporter of the president moving toward a negotiation with Iran for a nuclear deal. I think that that was really important to the entire region and also to the United States national security interest, and I expressed that support. I did not attend the second time that Prime Minister Netanyahu came to the House of Representatives or to address a joint session. And the reason is because of the way that that was done. In fact, I did go the first time because it was done in coordination with the White House and coordination with both our political leadership in the House. And this second visit was not. It was highly political. It was done, I think, as an insult to President Obama and to Secretary Kerry. And I didn't think it deserved my presence on the floor of the House. I did listen to the speech, however, as many of my colleagues did as well. I just simply did not sit in the chamber because I thought it was done in a way that was very disrespectful to President Obama. And, I'm proud to have the support of the J Street Organization. I'm their first endorsed candidate when I ran for the House, and I've been proud to have their support over the years because I do believe in a negotiated two-state solution between Israel and Palestine, and I think that the United States has an important and constructive role to play, and I look forward to working with the next president of the United States to try to make sure that that happens.
In the brief time we have left here, let me get two callers in a row and then let you close out your thoughts. 410-319-8888. First, Kenneth, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Kenneth.
Well, I'm getting closer to, we're talking about the presidential race right now, right?
No, we're interviewing Donna Edwards, who is running for the U.S. Senate.
Oh, well, yeah, I think she should get in there. She is the only one that I've listened to who got the real down-to-earth issues. And you know how I am about the down-to-earth issues. If you're not running for whatever you're running for, if you're not for the people, it's no use running. I mean, all these developers and...
Right, but you have a question, Kenneth, for the congresswoman?
Well, I thought I could give my comments.
We have only had like two or three minutes, so I wanted to get your thought on the air so we could have her comment before we have to move on.
It has to be a robotical interview. All right. Well, I do have a question. Are you going to do what you say you're going to do? Thank you.
Thank you, Kenneth. Let's go to Kim in Baltimore. You're on the air. Hi, Kim.
First woman, soon to be Senator Edwards. I appreciate who you are and the fact that you're not letting the machine dictate how you approach service to our people. Being a single mother of a black male is a critical part of the discussion that doesn't happen. and I need you to please talk to that. You have my vote, and I hope you have the vote of everyone involved.
Thank you, Kim.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll take this opportunity to close out my remarks, too. I appreciate that, Kim. Look, I think each one of us in our leadership brings something to the table. And in addition to being a lawyer and engineer and working the space program and running nonprofit organizations, I also had the challenge of raising my son mostly on my own since he was about 3 years old, not because I wanted to, but because it was something that happened. And I think that my circumstance is not unlike the circumstance of so many families all across our state and our nation. And I think the particular challenge as an African-American mom of raising a young man in a really complicated environment, and that those are issues that need to be heard in the United States Senate so that we can frame public policy that addresses the needs and challenges of young people to get them educated and create opportunities and jobs so that they can effectively contribute to our great nation and to this great city. I also know how important it is as a woman in the workplace. I know what it means to work for unequal pay, for equal work, and that, and especially, you know, as a woman making 78 cents on the dollar, as an African-American woman, 64 cents, 49 cents for Latina women. This is something that we have to fix, not just for women, but for our families. Every family will benefit when we make sure that women are paid equally to men. And I would bring that voice to the table. Look, this is an important election as we make this transition in Maryland. And I look forward to earning the vote and the support and the ongoing support and relationship with voters so that we can create jobs, opportunities, and strengthen the middle class, a middle class that has been stagnant for so many years. And for those who are clawing their way into the middle class, we can do this together. And I look forward to representing the hopes, the dreams, and the aspirations of all Marylanders in the United States Senate.
Congresswoman Dawn Edwards, pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Good luck to you campaigning in Baltimore.
Thank you. I'll be campaigning all day today and tomorrow, too.
Tomorrow's election day.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So get out there and vote. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to have another candidate coming in just shortly, Elizabeth Embry, who's seeking to become the next mayor. Don't go away.